Amen. I need thee every hour. Sometimes an hour is too long. How about every moment? What a blessing to be with you. Let's give the Lord a hand for bringing us to our first Sunday in November. It's always always a blessing and always a pleasure to be with you in another month and to thank God for the month that was and to look forward to the one that is. And I want to again say thank you to you all for pastors' appreciation. My thanks were so wonderfully read last week by Tanera, so I won't reiterate that, but know that it's still true. And but I wanted to personally take a moment to directly say thank you to this woman right here. I want to say personally thank you to my lovely wife, Laverne. And I have some other adjectives. My smart, spiritual, sweet, sexy, lovely. Sweet, I want to go back to sweet because, you know, there are nice people and there are sweet people, okay? Sweet people are nice people with extra sugar. And so I thank you, Lord, for this woman. My life would not be what it is without her. She's not only my best friend, she's also my editor. She's my ministry consultant. She's my agent. At times, she's my bodyguard. She's always got my back. You know, really what it comes down to, though, and I mean this sincerely, she does everything in her power all the time to help you all to see the man that she thinks I am and believes that I am. And I am so thankful for all that you are to me, sweetie. So God bless you. In my journal last Sunday, before the message that Grace gave, before the message, I wrote, thank you to the Lord. I said, thank you for making Grace White such an inspired and inspiring fellow elder and shepherd of Valley Brook. The church is hearing today, and this is before Grace ever got up, I said, the church is hearing today from and seeing a passionate partaker of the abundant life and the glorious effects that you are dispensing through her. So I just want to say to Sister Grace back there, hey, Grace, thank you for just blessing us so much by pointing us to the Lord, pointing us to the Lord, because there's no way you can apply what Grace spoke about last week without engaging the Lord. And that's what we want to do every single Sunday. We want to point all of us to the Lord to experience the delights of who he is personally and in an increasing way. So I am so grateful that the Lord has placed her among us and what he is doing in her life. Amen. So let's take just a moment and ask the Lord to focus us this morning as we look at his word together. Father, we thank you for this blessing of being together. Thank you for the hymns that we heard sung this morning and that we participated in. Lord, the lives of the men and women who penned those words touched deeply by you. And Lord, we thank you for how you continue to touch lives day after day, year after year, century after century, millennium after millennium. You are always doing your work of exposing and expanding our view of you. So we ask that you bless us now as we turn to your word in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Today's message is titled The heavenly instigator. The heavenly instigator. When I was growing up, an instigator was always used to describe the bad kid. The one that was always stirring up trouble. And he's the instigator of the whole thing. It was always used in a negative connotation, but literally it only means the one who initiates. So today I want to speak for just a few minutes about a heavenly instigator that God sent to earth to stir up. To stir up, not trouble, but to stir up glory. And our text is from Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. While you're turning to Galatians 4, 1 through 7, I'll introduce this month's topics. This month's theme is walking with Christ. And it's all about our personal experience of walking with the living Savior, our living Savior, Jesus Christ, and how that becomes real to us. How it becomes more than just words, how it becomes more than just a Sunday event, but how it becomes real and a daily experience for us. So we're looking at Galatians chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 1 through 7. What I am saying, says Paul, is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons and daughters, of course, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Amen. So Paul is addressing the relationship here between the law, the laws of the old covenant, and the grace of God under the new covenant. Before any of us in this room were born, God's people lived under the old covenant, which consisted of the Ten Commandments and other rules and regulations and laws that were intended to do two things: to guide their behavior as to how they interacted with one another with justice and fairness and kindness and without killing one another, to guide their behavior, but also to keep them in a right relationship with God. And this was the case, Galatians tells us, until the set time had fully come when God would send his son into the world to complete his plan and introduce the new covenant, which consisted and consists of a personal relationship with Christ and direct access to God for those who placed his or her faith in Christ. The new covenant changed the conditions from living by the rules to living by relationship through faith in him. The old covenant, there are a lot of rules and regulations that kept you in line and helped you to stay in right relationship with God. Under the new covenant, it's all about relationship. I tell people all the time, if you want to know what the new covenant is all about, think about what they say in real estate. In real estate, they say it's location, location, location. Under the new covenant, it's relationship, relationship, relationship. It all comes back to relationship. And that's what we're talking about this month as our theme is walking with Christ. So if you are taking notes, here's the main idea that I want you to take away from this morning's message. The Holy Spirit is always instigating intimacy with God. The Holy Spirit is always instigating intimacy with God. So here is your condition in Christ. As it says, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. The word Abba is an Aramaic word that means father. It was a common term that expressed affection, and it expressed confidence and trust. It doesn't literally mean daddy. It means father, but it carries that kind of affection and emotion that a child would use when he calls to his father and calls him dad or daddy. And it is a reflection of the childlike trust that a young child puts in his father. Here in Galatians, it says the Spirit calls out, Abba, Father. The Spirit calls out, Abba, Father. He calls out to us as a reminder. He calls out to us to remember that God is our Abba and our Father. In Romans 8:15, we see this phrase again. And it says in 8:15, it's by the Spirit that we cry out, Abba, Father. In Galatians, it says the Spirit calls out. Laverne, Abba, Father, remember who he is. Abba, Father. Remember who he is, Robert. Abba, Father. And then it says in Romans that we call out by the Spirit. So he prompts us to call out. So he not only reminds us, but he prompts us to call out to God for who he really is to us. He reminds us of our status, and he prompts us to act on it. He reminds us by calling out himself, and he prompts us to call out ourselves by reminding us. And he's always instigating intimacy with God. The Spirit inside of us is the reason why every day we get a taste of heaven on earth. Every single day when our eyes pop open, we get a taste of heaven. Sometimes it's a little tiny slice. Sometimes it's a big slice. Sometimes it's a buffet. Sometimes it's a Danish. But every single day, because of the Spirit, we get a taste of heaven each morning. He's the reason that we're experiencing eternal life in these mortal bodies. What is he talking about? Where are you going with this, Pastor? Dave Perrin gets up here on Praise and Worship Sunday and he says, praise the Lord. And he comes back up and he says, praise the Lord. And he keeps saying, praise the Lord. The worship team does a song, and it becomes more than a song. It becomes a collective experience. Who's doing that? It's the Spirit stirring up glory. It's a sunset that surprises you and creates a burst of emotion, and you didn't know where that came from. It is the Spirit stirring up glory and instigating intimacy with God. A familiar truth that you look at in the scripture, or a verse that you've read 1,000 times and you've heard 1,000 times, and you look at it one day and you go, whoa, it is the Spirit instigating intimacy with God. That is his work. You're spending time with the Lord and you're laughing. Then you're crying. You can't shut up. And then you can't speak. The Spirit is instigating intimacy in your walk with God. You find the words to express exactly what you want to say in prayer. You stumble upon them. You're praying and, oh, that's what I want to say. That's it. That's the Spirit instigating intimacy. You can't find the words to express what you're really feeling, but you're feeling it. You're feeling it deeply. And the Spirit assures you that's okay. Don't worry. You don't have to find the words. I got you. It's the Spirit stirring up intimacy with God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's His job, to instigate intimacy. You know, there's something we can say from a heart of praise when we observe the wonderful effects happening within us. When God does that thing and we know that it's God, when the Spirit moves in us in a way and we know it's the Spirit, we can say from a heart of praise, there you go, Lord, instigating again. Thank you, Jesus, for your relentless instigation through your Spirit. The word inspire is from a Latin word meaning to breathe or blow into. When you are inspired, according to the literal definition of the word, you are having an idea breathed into you. Imagine the Spirit breathing within you and filling your being with awareness of the eternal life that is yours, and that is yours now and forever. That is the Spirit instigating intimacy. It says in Philippians 2:13, it is God who is at work in you, both to desire and to work for His good pleasure. Who do you think is doing that work? God is at work in you. The New American Standard says to will and to work for His good pleasure. Who do you think is doing that work in you? It is the Holy Spirit living inside of you, instigating intimacy. And let me tell you this. You know, He lives in each one of us by choice. He chose to live in each one of us by choice. It was not a requirement. He didn't have to. He chose to live in there with you, Keisha, with all that attitude. He chose to live in you, Roger, with all those thoughts. He chose to live inside of us no matter what else was in there. And He did it consciously. He did it by choice. He chose to live in there. And He doesn't hop out when it gets too nasty in there. He doesn't hop out. And the reason why is because of this amazing verse. It says in Hebrews 10, verse 14, and by the way, all the verse references will be in my notes posted on our website later on this evening. So if you don't catch a verse, they'll all be there. Hebrews 10, 14 says, "For by one sacrifice He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Your sin account has been paid in full by the blood of Christ. And so you've been made holy. And at the same time, you are being made holy. Those two things are working together in you. He's already made you holy because of Christ. But the Spirit inside is working day and night relentlessly. God is at work in you, transforming who you are in practice into who you are by status and because of what Jesus has done. So He's in there for the mess. Did you hear me? He's in there not despite the mess. He's in there for the mess. That's why He's in there. Say, boy, you know, I can't let, you know, Lord, you see all that's going on in me? Yeah, that's why I came to live in you. That's exactly why I came in knowing what the mess is, knowing exactly what the work was and how to get it done. I came in with a plan. And I'm not intimidated by the work because I knew what was there before I even showed up, before you even thought about me. I knew what the job was that I had to do. And I chose to come and live inside of you in order to make that happen. He's in us at all times. You know, I love you all. I remember you all in prayer day by day. I think of you. I thank God for you. I see your faces as I'm spending time with the Lord. My heart is warmed when I think about you. I like to be responsive as I can when I hear from you or when I think something's going on. But truth is, I can't be thinking about y'all all the time. I can't be thinking about y'all all the time. I got my own life to live. I got my own problems to fix. I got my own stuff I have to do. And despite my lovely wife, I've got my own honey-do list too. I got everything going on. But the Lord, you see, I've got my life to live, but the Lord is living his life in you. He is living his life. He's living his life in you. And he's got 100% access. And you have 100% access to him all the time. And that's why I keep pointing you all to him, because he can be what I cannot be. And he can be where I cannot be. And he can do what I cannot do. And so I point you to him, because he's always on the job and he knows what he's doing. I don't always know what I'm doing. I try. But he is the all-wise God. He is the all-wise God living in you. And I tell the Lord, I thank him. I said, you know, Lord, I thank you that I'm not the only resource they got. And he says, amen, and you're not even the primary one. Your job, you've got one job. And you know what that is? Just point them to me. Point them to me. Tell them who I am to you. Let them share with one another who you are to them, and let them be inspired to turn to me themselves. That's the job. So they can see who I am and they can experience who I am on a much deeper and richer level than what they presently know. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was thinking this morning as I was just spending some time with the Lord, I was thinking about the love that inspired him to send his son. And I was thinking about how I wouldn't send my son into any situation where he would be harmed. And yet he did that. And then Jesus himself, he accepted the commission because of his love for us. I lay down my life, and greater love is no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. So I was thinking about that love, and I'm asking the Lord to not let me just think about it and not let me just have a theological concept of it, but let me trust in that love. Let me trust in that love. And who do you think it is that helps us to trust in that love? The one who is living inside of us, instigating intimacy. The reason you believe God loves you is not because you have great faith. Do you know that? The reason you believe God loves you is because there's an instigator living inside of you, helping you to trust that love in dark places, in sad places, in difficult places, in foggy places, in dry places. In those moments when ain't nothing really going on, the juices aren't flowing. It is the instigator from heaven who continues to reinforce, remind us, refresh us, and help us to believe in that love that commissioned Jesus and caused him to accept that commission. In discouraging places, he's the one instigating intimacy. When the evil one tempts us to run and to hide and to sulk in shame, it's the Spirit who beckons us to draw near to Abba, Father. It is the Spirit who gives that gives us that other voice. The evil one wants to tempt and to steal and to kill and destroy and to separate. And as Michelle was saying, to isolate. He wants to do that. But it is the instigator of intimacy who lives inside of us, who gives us another voice, who gives us another voice and another way and different sight. This morning, I was reflecting on something that I review every day before the Lord. And I just want to share it with you so that you can get an insight into how this affects me. So the Lord wants to be much more personal with each of us than we presently realize. For him to make the choice not to live near me as a next door neighbor or even with me as a roommate, but inside of me and forever, that communicates a desire for intimacy that's far beyond human understanding. He's not just concerned about what's going on in the world. He's concerned about what's going on in me. It means he wants to be perpetually synchronized with me emotionally. He wants to be perpetually synchronized with me spiritually and physically. It means he does not just want to understand my situations. He wants to experience them with me. It means he does not only want to be available when I call, but he wants to be there to prompt the call. To prompt the call. By the Spirit we cry out, Abba, Father. The reason he is in each of us personally is because he wants to personalize each of our relationship with him. The reality and the meaning of his presence within me is the most wonderful thing that I can ponder. Romans 15:5 said, God gives us perseverance and encouragement. Perseverance and encouragement. Who do you think is delivering that package? Who's delivering the package? It is the instigating Spirit of God, instigating intimacy. He's always reminding us and prompting us to embrace and to exercise our privilege as beloved sons and daughters of the Most High. I wrote this poem. I said, does not my adoration of you, Lord, does not my adoration of you rise from believing that I'm adored by you? Is not my desire to seek you a response to believing that I am affectionately received by you when I seek you? Does not my Christ-like love for others flow from Christ's love for me? And the answer is yes, yes, yes. And who is the one persuading me that I'm loved and that nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? Who is the one doing that? The instigating Spirit within. The Spirit is not a mood. The Spirit is not a mood. The Spirit is not a feeling. The Spirit is not a mystical, impersonal force out there. He's not a forced mindset. He's not a disciplined mindset. He's not a mindset at all. He's a person. He is the living God living inside of each one of us by Spirit. You know, I was thinking about this thing and I get frustrated. I'll tell you, I get frustrated. Oh, hi, y'all. I'll get back up here. If I can just break it down for you here. A lot of what I've been talking about, you can find the verse references and you can look them up and you've heard them before. And I've looked over my journal, and as I've looked over my journal over the past 10 years, I see that I'm saying the same things, but I'm saying them in different ways. And it's about the same thing, but it's different. And the thing that I'm talking about is this thing called a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's not something that has one dimension to it. It's more like looking through a kaleidoscope. And you turn it, and there's different colors and different shapes and different patterns. And every time you turn it, there's something different. Because it's life. He is life inside of us, and he's growing our lives in him. We're becoming different. It's a mystical, amazing thing. But I thought, you know what? It's almost like being in love. That's what it came down to. When I said, you know, let me break this down. Let me break it down. You know what it's like? What God is calling us to, it's almost like being in love. And when you're in love with someone, you don't have to force yourself to think about them. You can't help it. Is that what you don't have to force yourself to spend time with them? You know, you're trying to hold yourself back. I got other stuff I got to do. That is what God wants. He wants to draw us into that kind of a relationship. That's exactly what he's after. That's the intimacy that he wants. Only it's much bigger than being in love. It's bigger than that. You know why? Because it's unlike human love. Because human love has limitations. His is infinite. His capacity to give it and receive it from us is unlimited. We can't wear him out with love. His availability is unlimited. His knowledge of me, the real me, is perfect and complete. And astonishingly, it's greater than my own knowledge of myself. So it's like being in love, but it's bigger than that. It's all encompassing, all consuming. I've described it like you're in a spaceship, and there's this planet that's in the distance, and you see it. And for a while you're traveling to it, it feels like you're using your own fuel to escape the gravitational pull of one body and enter into the gravitational pull of this other body out there after you've traveled for a while. But that's how his love is. It's like a big body, a big planet. And there comes a time when you're no longer sensing that it's your fuel that's moving you towards it, where you begin to feel like you're caught in the gravitational pull of it, and it's pulling you towards it irresistibly. That is who he is. That is what the Spirit wants to do in each of our, that's what he's up to. Say, what is God doing in me? This is what he's doing. And you know what he's using? He's using your everyday life. He's not just using your moments when you go away in prayer, or when you're in Bible study, or when you are worshiping on Sunday. Those are wonderful things, but mostly what he's using is your everyday life. And every single event of your life is designed and is being used by the instigator of intimacy to help us to have a deeper trust in the living one, a deeper connection with the living one, a greater knowledge of the living one. That's what he's up to in our lives. And I could go on, but I'm going to stop there. And yes, I'm going to stop. I may do a part two next week. But we'll see. Amen. I must admit, I cannot tell it all. And I'm struggling to tell what I know. But I cannot tell it all. But my consolation is this. My consolation is this. That I know the one who is at work in you. And I know that he is using faithfully so many different resources to turn the light bulbs on for you and to continue to shine that light, because he's not going to give up. He's at work in you. He's inside of you. He's not going anywhere. Draw me nearer, nearer, precious Lord. And that's what he's doing. So I am done.